wherever.
To ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Whoop-de-doo. Wednesday.
106.3 Casino Radio.
How are you? I don't even know what that is. What is going on? Huh?
Casino Radio.
What number are you? Do we have to even do this show? I knew this was going to happen today. You know what? You knew what was coming today, right?
LeBron.
You knew what was coming
Travis
today.
Travis is probably trying to call into the studio
buddy,
right now.
Any number that says Travis on the caller ID.
Just don't. Because you know what? He never called the game.
No, he never called
Monday.
Never. Well, he will tell you because he wasn't worried. Remarkable how that works, huh?
Yeah, you should hear LeBron and AD's comments.
I literally heard the Get Up promo this morning. Okay? And you know what I heard? Anthony Davis, and you know all the highlights they kept showing? LeBron. Like, well, they showed one AD highlight.
Post-game, LeBron was asked,
yeah,
how did he get AD involved into the game?
Did he really?
Yes.
How he was able to.
How he was. Yeah. Not how AD helped himself.
Look, I just want to know something. While yesterday's outcome maybe didn't happen the way some of us in New Orleans would have liked, right? This is what I need to know from you. Are you ready to pat my back? Do I do it after the Hump Day remix or now?
Or question.
Like, when am I doing this?
Let's do it right now.
You want my pat on the back?
I'll give you a half pat on the back.
Oh, no.
For one reason.
And it's not even your fault. A full on open hand palm pat on my back.
I'll give you a pat on the back.
Uh-huh.
But I'll give you a half pat on the back because the refs.
So I'm getting a pat and a half?
No.
That's what I just heard.
Just a half a pat.
No, what are you talking about? A half a
because,
pat?
Because look, AD got to the line.
What's the sticky note say?
Within the first 60 seconds. So this was proven right.
Yeah. 58
seconds. However, the NBA couldn't have made it too obvious.
Oh, they made it pretty obvious.
Because Crowder also had to go to the line because of AD's,
early kick. Second, you had three players with at least two fouls. Two of them had three of the Suns.
How long again? It was a double flagrant, I'm pretty sure.
58 seconds. I will give you credit. You text me first. You were like, you were right. 50. I thought that was a bit long.
It was. I mean, you cut it. You cut it within two seconds.
2 seconds.
So that was Gus.
58 seconds right. into the game, Anthony right. Davis to the free throw line.
You also had something else right. I mean, it was fouls here, foul there, foul everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't guard the paint, man. It was rebound here. I mean, I saw a Sun flying this way, a Sun flying that way. I love when Booker at the end there in the last 2 minutes because the Suns didn't score in the last four. I'm not bitter at all, by the way, but. Like when he was driving around the paint, LeBron just, a little body there. No fouls. The playoffs. Did you just sneeze on AD? To the line. Do you have the bite of Crowder saying a guy should? He shot 21 free throws. Who was it? Jake Madison. Look up his tweet. I'm going to play this because now I'm going into my whole show here. Ready? Look up Jake Madison last night.
Let's see.
Because if you think I'm just, my feelings are all, I'm going to give you something Jake gave me. Here in a bit.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day!
I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more about what that camel Wednesday hump day is.
Hey, head coach Sean of the Peyton. Caleb the Camel. It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, right? It is Wednesday.
I honestly
don't know. Man, you go away for a guy's weekend. You spend the next 2 days making up for it. I don't know what day it is. May 26th. Jordan, we're inside of a week. The June 1st deadline. Will Aaron Rodgers be a Packer?
Probably not.
Peace and happiness.
forever.
Where will he go? Julio!
Julio up!
The Out of Here tour, that might start next week on Tuesday. Do you have like a tour shirt or do they even do that anymore? Or is that like my day?
Live period, breathe period.
No. Like tour shirt. Like when you go to a concert, yeah, you purchase a tour, they have the list of cities.
Yeah, that's
on the
my
back.
Tour. The live period.
No one's talking about your
breathe
tour.
Breathe period tour.
Zero people are talking about your tour, but I am going to be talking about Jake Madison Street here. So if you think that 21 free throws seems normal. Now granted, Jordan. David Griffin did come out and was pretty angry about the lack of fouls called on Zion. Go ahead and read Jake Madison's tweet 12 hours ago on AD to the free throw line. What does he say?
Anthony Davis took 21 free throws in tonight's game, so last night's game. The most Zion had in a game this season was 18.
That's incredible.
So, you know, in one of the most crucial games for the Lakers, yeah. I'd have to say probably the series, because they lose that.
Of all time, by the way.
Of all time,
yeah.
The greatest, you know,
performance. Well, it's an important game.
Anthony Davis just so happens.
To
get 21 attempts at the line.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence.
The reason I bring that up is because the thread right after that, the next tweet is what? What does he screen capture here? NBA.com provided what graphic?
This was NBA.com's Anthony Davis's shot chart.
Shot chart, which if you've never seen it, shame on you. It's really easy. It's a basketball court. It's a half court.
It has
right?
The circles where he's made shots. Yeah, the X is where he hasn't.
There's the lane, the 3-point arc. Green circles represent what?
Makes.
And red X's represent what?
Misses.
Okay.
He was 7 of 15 from the field.
Yeah.
He had 4 outside shots, 2 of 4 from outside.
Mm-hmm. I see what? 3 in the paint?
4 inside the protected area.
Okay.
He missed one of those shots.
Yeah, one on the right block and one basically between the left block and
the
elbow. Yeah.
Let's do the math.
What, for 21 free throw?
For 21.
Yeah, so he was fouled outside of the paint. Yes. I can just save you the time.
Yeah.
How many times Zion went the most?
18.
What does he mostly do with shooting?
Goes inside the protected area and dunks the ball.
So what you're saying is they're called differently. That's all you had to say.
I think this group, this little area right here.
He's not good from the right side. He's not. He missed a right wing three.
Or he got hacked. He got hacked so hard.
Right, yes.
He couldn't even attempt the shot.
Could have lost his ear or something. I'm really not bitter, I promise. I thought it was a great game. It was fun to watch. Wasn't it? I'm just looking at the phone screener, making sure Travis hasn't called it.
No, we're not taking his call today.
Nope. I might give him 10 seconds to glow, because that's what they do. That's what LeBron and Laker fans do. When they lose, the list of excuses. When they win, I told you LeBron was the best. Isn't that how it works? Did I do that right? I mean, we could restart the show, and I can just say, you know, the greatness. I mean, he made some big shots. You were so bitter. Like, you stopped texting. When you stop texting, I know how you're feeling.
Well, when Todd stops texting.
Yeah, you stopped texting.
Hey, look, you know what?
Here's the thing. If I'm going to pat myself on the back, because I did call it 58 seconds into the game, AD went to the free throw line. 58 seconds. I will say this. I got to give it to LeBron. Like a dad. He made sure that AD got his game together.
Give him the ball early, often, and always. It's that simple. He responds to games like game one. You know, he's not a guy who talks about it. He's about it. You know, and he goes out and do it. So, you know, give him the ball early, often, and always.
There it is. Often and always.
Talk to him like he was a dog.
No, he didn't. That's not exactly at all how I took that.
Hey, my dog, you know, if you just, you know, you give him the ball, you throw him the ball.
No, that's
he'll go
fetch.
After it. He'll go after
no,
it.
No, this
he'll
is bring winning
me
a
back the, he'll bring me back the ball. That way I can throw it back to him.
That, wow. Well, do you not love?
And then
your
if
dog?
He doesn't want to give it away, I'm just gonna have
What's
to.
What's your dog's name?
Champ.
Champ. Don't you love Champ?
I do love Champ.
Yeah. So you see, it's a. I mean, he's the king, dude. Come on. By the way, it's going to be my greater, I guess, point and topic I'm going to bring up here at 12:15. Because whether I want to do this or not, Jordan, we are doing this as Pelicans fans, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're viewing every game through the lens of if the Pels were to play this team, if the Pels were in this game, where are the Pels who were out the Pels? Right? I mean, am I wrong on that? Whether you like to do it or not, maybe it's a minute or two. I'm texting Will Guillory during a game. One or two of my tweets might have referenced the Pelicans player or not. Right? I mean, Jay Crowder was doing his best certain Pelicans player impression. Then anything, they got good at towards the end. But there was one point, most of that game, he was, oh my goodness. I mean, he's terrible. He's having a rough night. But my point is, I think it's normal, don't you? Don't you think it's normal that we would sort of view the playoffs in these games in a certain manner? I'm not talking just even specifically, just in general. Have you watched there were 8 games over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
right?
I'll admit I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen, you know, the main ones.
2 Monday.
The ones that weren't blowouts, I've
seen. You got 3 tonight. So we've watched a bunch of basketball, though, right? And we asked this, and I'll ask it again. We'll throw that out there. Maybe you can help me. What's the one thing that's standing out to you, or what is standing out to you in these playoffs that you want to relate, correlate, tie in, whatever higher vocabulary word you want to use to the Pelicans? And I'm going to play this for you because this is what kept popping in my head, Jordan. Right? You ready? Because, again, I'm watching all of these games.
It's going to be hard for people to kind of relate to the playoffs when Pelicans really don't.
No. But, well, again, well, if you want to get there, there's certain things that need to happen. Right?
And Jrue Holiday for the Bucks, that team is night and day in the playoffs because the Heat were the team that bounced the Bucks last year. Now, Jrue Holiday and their additions over there in Milwaukee.
Look,
it's been.
We have our fun, like, and the national media has their, you know, pets and all that other stuff. It's about 80. The Lakers, one that. Dennis, I mean, Schroeder. I'm watching it, and I'm like, you know, again, this is just a little part that I'm going to get into the next segment. You don't have guard play. You know this already, though, right? You know this. I've said this 1,000 times. But you watch those games. Luka, 39. I mean, I can go on and on. Trey, I mean, you have got to have not only, and shooting's just so broad. Of course you need but dogs, man. You need guys that thrive in that and want it. When Phoenix made its comeback to take the lead, Jordan, it's a 3-ball there. It's battle for the loose ball. Drummond played a huge role in that game last night.
Cameron Payne.
Cameron Payne. That's what I'm getting at, Jordan.
Look, he came off the bench.
You're learning. Because you know where I'm going to go next segment? As I look at the clock, I'm going to play this bite, and then we'll go to break, and it will come back with it. Because you are on the path that I'm trying to drive us here. Right? Because when we first heard it, we're like, oh, no. But you know what? My man number one, Zion Williamson, he's right.
You know, my stepfather kind of, he just taught me different. You know, just kind of doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. But, you know, it's kind of insane. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and say, you know, we're close or this. The reality of it is, it was very disappointing not to be a part of the play-in tournament and stuff. But we just got to come in and just be better. That's just me being real.
And do you remember what David Griffin said when he spoke about the luxury tax? You remember what he said at the very end?
Something that we'll get, we consider.
He said we'll consider. It's a minute 12 bite. We're about to go to break. Maybe I'll go to the break and get the specific part I'm talking about. He says, we're a long, long way. I believe me, I want that. I text Will last night. oh, to have this kind of atmosphere in the SKC. And he said a couple years ago we did, right? AD and Drew, Portland, Warriors. I mean, it could be like that, but I'm talking like that game I'm watching last night. That Suns-Laker game, 7 minutes to play. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom, refill my drink, and sit down on my couch and not move.
You got 60 seconds.
That was incredible basketball, though. That was incredible basketball. Your heroes, your villains. One guy can't move his shoulder. I mean, it was great. But I want you to ask yourself this context as we go to break. What you're watching, can the Pelicans be there? Are they there? How far are they from what you're watching in the playoffs right now? That's a fair question, because that's what they're trying to debate right now on Airline Drive. How far are we? Because I'm with Zion right now. Am I wrong? Sports Hangover brought to you by, in hour number one, the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
This is Mike Dettigy. If you love having the weekends to do special things, at Neal's Small Engine, you will find everything you need to keep your lawn nice and neat. We have Gravely and Skag Zero Turn lawnmowers and Echo, Shindawa and Steel trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws. Our showroom is the biggest in the South. So if you want the best products along with the best service, there's only one place to go. That's Neal's Small Engine Incorporated. Three locations to serve you in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodaux. It's the best on the bayou.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. So this is what David Griffin was talking about with the luxury tax, if you remember, whether or not this team's willing to do that.
I think if there was something that I would have done differently in the way things came together from an execution standpoint, it was getting that close to the tax to begin with. We did a lot of things to avoid the tax. That wasn't something that was being asked of us. It was something where we just didn't want to start our clock. I think this organization and ownership group has been – ownership team, rather, has been very clear with us, Mrs. Benson, Dennis Lauscha, that when we have a chance to put the pedal to the metal and build a championship team and really sustain our culture in the way the Saints have, I believe there's a willingness to do that. But it's about picking your spots. We're not going to be a team that routinely pays into the tax. And I think if you look at the league right now, there's probably seven teams that I'll call the superpowers in terms of their ability to spend money. There's a great deal of stratification in the NBA right now between the haves and the have-nots financially. This team is going to participate in a way that they can compete for championships. We've got a long, long way to go to do that. But I can tell you absolutely, Andrew, if we get to the point where that's what we need to do to finish this off, ownership's willing to do that.
What are some of the things, as we bring in John into the conversation, Jordan? Now, I want you to think about this. Let's let John go first. But, like, what are some of the things you think are missing? Because am I wrong? Because I have a theory here, John. I think the Pels can beat a team. Remember, the context here is this. You have to beat a team four times. Three times just to get to the finals, right? First round, second round, conference finals to get to the finals. The Pels have the talent, don't you think, John, to beat Milwaukee once, to beat the Suns once, take two of four on the season. Can they do it four times in a short amount of time? That's what I'm thinking about when I'm asking this. Hey, John, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, Gus. Jordan, good afternoon to y'all. I just want to say, and as you mentioned this topic of can the Pels do it, as it currently stands, I don't think they can, simply because, like, it's similar to the Suns without Chris Paul last night. When you don't have that veteran leadership on the court, you know, things kind of seem to collapse. And obviously, you know, last night towards the end of the game, Chris Paul wasn't on the floor, and you saw it. Dealing with that injury.
But, and like, John, they didn't score in the final 4 minutes.
Right. So without that veteran leadership, which I don't think the Pels really have right now, and I think that's what they need. You know, you can argue maybe Steven Adams, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, I just don't see how. And it surprises me too, because you look at a team like Dallas, who's relatively young, and they have a few veteran pieces. But
yeah.
I mean, like, the biggest thing I'm taking away is Luka Doncic is that guy. I mean, he is everything advertised and more, and it's going to be interesting to see.
John,
I'm excited for the future,
and that's what I'm saying. It's like, what if I face him next year in the postseason? You know, and one of the things you bring up is something that I kept texting Jordan throughout the game. That's, you saw it. It's dribbling with the purpose with Chris Paul. Going to a certain area, going to a certain mark, bringing the defense with him. He's not going to shoot when he went under the basket, but he brought defenders with him. He brought eyes with him. Boom, quick dish for, you know, a backdoor cutting player that dunks it. I mean, and then I just think of, like, our backcourt, and it's, you know, dun dun da 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 dun dun da da. He's dribbling.
Right. Now, I will say, if I can chime in, Gus, I will say one thing that keeps me very optimistic was the J.J. Redick trade at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
where I don't know what the plan is for him. I think he's a free agent, but James Johnson to me is a great pickup for this team. It's a step in the right direction. It's not the move, obviously. I mean, it's a very under the radar move, but like guys like that. That could come off a bench or that can even start, perhaps, that give you that veteran leadership and toughness. So that gives me, you know, a good sign that David Griffin is, you know, he's making those type of moves. And like I said, as a Pelicans fan, I just hope that we have another top 10 pick. I really, and I might be selfish to say, I don't want another top 10 player. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to maybe move that trade pick and get a guy that already established in the league and to help this team kind of elevate. But I really hope we don't draft in the top 10 again. I don't want it. That's just me.
So right now,
I don't know what you guys think.
Thanks to the coin flip. Where's my coin, by the way? Thanks to the coin flip. Oh, there it is.
I thought I took it.
No, here it is. Here it is. Thanks to the coin flip.
You
like
that?
That
was a nice.
Yeah.
It's still spinning.
It is. Well, there it is. Thanks to the coin flip, we are number 10. What? They did. Adam Silver went. Here we go, guys. Here we go. I don't know. Did he let it fall? Did he catch
it? Don't let it drop on your computer.
Point is, they're going to pick 10, at least for now. So John says that. But yeah, give me a call or tweet at me. What are the ingredients? Because Zion's right. And Griff said it too, right? It's not I don't think you're rebuild. You have, this is what you need. From what I'm watching in the playoffs, you better have a superstar. Yeah, no shot. Well, you're not in the playoffs if you don't, right? That's Zion. We do have a all-star player in Brandon Ingram on this roster. You gotta have that. And again, I know I'm taking the defending champs, but I can look at other members on that team, and you brought him up, so I'm gonna give you credit. That's the guy from the Suns that you brought up.
Oh, Cameron Payne? Coming off the bench.
I mean,
the first game after
big
AD.
Threes, you know, I mean, defensive plays. Crowder stepping up and doing those things, but Aiden, see, I'm going to back you up again. I can't, this is like a great day for you. I've backed you up twice in the last 10 seconds. I'm like an NBA referee calling for AD. I am backing you up because you don't want to hear about youth. Because
correct.
Last night, all I kept hearing was Reggie Miller going, how is this DeAndre Ayton's second playoff game? You either are or you're not. John brought up a very good point. James Johnson. This is the next word I'm writing down on my legal pad here of, of incredible ideas or ingredients as to how to make the Pelicans to what I'm seeing on TV. Fighter. Warrior. Right?
I have three.
I mean, when the Suns were making their comeback, what do you see? You're seeing pain. You're seeing they're pointing at their – they were fighting. That crowd got going and they – you know.
You think that they were the best player out there when they were on the court.
And CP had a damaged wing, man. I mean, it's incredible. But that's – you know what? I can't stand this guy. And it's not personal. He's exactly what you want in this. He's on your team, Jordan? He's not? Ugh, Caruso. Who has a Caruso jersey? There might be in L.A. a few, right? But you, I mean, dude, do you know what he does on that team? He is a gnat on defense. You never, ever, ever rarely see him bumbling in some. He's on everybody's guarding people, get a rebound, and get it. And then, it's basketball IQ. Right in the middle of the paint, that one big dunk he had leading into the timeout that kind of started to seal the fate for the Suns. They trust him enough to put him in there in those laces. That guy. Who's that guy? You know? I mean, it's incredible. Dennis Schroeder. I mean, again, this is another point that I've been making. Backcourt. Guys, I'm sorry. The Pels backcourt has got to get better. How are you beating these teams that are going to be in the postseason? If Klay comes back next year, the Warriors are a playoff team. One angry midget. Thank you for giving us a call on the Sports Hangover. Sir, what do you got?
What's going on, Mr. Kendengall?
Haven't heard from you in a while, man. How you doing?
It's been a minute. Look, man, the question is, what do you have on the roster and what can you get, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the roster, you look at Nikhil and you look at Kyra, those are your guards of the future. Do they provide what you need? And what we need is perimeter shooting and perimeter defense and a point guard that can get to the cup. I don't mention Lonzo Ball because it appears as though he's afraid to penetrate and get to the cup. He would prefer to stay on the outside, and he wants to be a playmaker, but he's not willing to go inside to make the play. So you're really looking at Nikhil or Kyra or somebody not on the roster right now. You have to believe that both of those guys are going to improve. You have to believe that Zion is going to take another gigantic leap. You have to believe that Brandon Ingram and Jackson Hayes are going to continue to improve. So the cupboard's not there. It's figuring out where they're going to be this time next year. And if they're not where you want them to be, who can you attract?
Mm-hmm.
And people saying not to make this draft pick, I don't know. It's a pretty deep draft. And if we can find a guy who can hang out on the perimeter and provide some defense, above-average defense, to be a nuisance, and can shoot at 40 to 42% behind the arc, that's what this team needs. You keep Hart. He provides defense. I like James Johnson, but he's an end-of-the-bench guy, and the money that he's going to command, it seems like a sunk cost. It doesn't seem like something we should do. But at the end of the day, it's perimeter defense and perimeter shooting. That's what we're missing. And without that, we're not going anywhere. So that's all I got.
I have three things written down. I think confidence, I have communication, and I have leadership, kind of going off of what everyone's kind of been saying today. But I think there's a difference between confidence and leadership, because a leader can have confidence, but at the same time, like Gus brought up, and a guy like Alex Caruso, who's really not your leader on the team, he has that confidence to take those big shots, to guard that, you know, big name. You see Luka, he has that confidence and he has that leadership to have a two to nothing lead series over the Los Angeles Clippers, who everyone thought was going to the NBA Finals this year. And I think that's just something that those qualities that the Pelicans lack as of right now. I'm not saying that some of these younger guys can't gain that confidence, mm-hmm. but as of right now, I don't see anyone on this team that's willing to take that big shot or guard that big guy in clutch situations.
Well, as far as confidence and leadership, the guy's on the roster. It's a matter, does he leak out to the perimeter, the mm-hmm. offensive point of the perimeter? And that's Zion. You right. heard him. You heard him in the interviews. He's the leader of this team. He is the alpha yeah. dog, and he's got a butt dog in it. A
yeah.
ton.
He just needs to come out a little
bit
more.
I think to one angry midget's point, I think him coming out last Friday saying, me and Brandon are going to work together. We're going to watch film together. That's what he's saying. And Todd brought it up. I think you're starting to hear him say, all right, you know what, enough of this. And I'm telling you, it's got to bother you to watch tonight, see if Ja Morant can go up 2-0. It's got to bother you to see R.J. Barrett. It's got to bother you to see all these guys, because I think he's just as good, if not better, right? So, and who doesn't? Just if, as a competitor standpoint, man, who doesn't want to be in that environment you saw last night? Even at the Clippers. I mean, seeing with Luka, the crowd, Trae Young, it's quiet as F in here. I mean, you want to be that guy. That's what you remember. What was the old commercial, Angry Midget? NBA playoffs. This is where you make your name. This is where you make your history. It's what you do in the playoffs.
Well, and take nothing away from Ja and RJ. Both of those guys are very talented.
Yeah.
But there's only one Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Zion can do what they're doing. They can't do what Zion does. Zion is a once in a generation. No one. They had three people on the guy, and he's dropping 30. That's Jordan-esque. What he can do, no one can stop. They've already tried. They've built walls. They've thrown bodies at him, and he goes right through them. And eventually, one day, Adam Silva is going to get tired of seeing the game play the way it's played, and they're going to blow the whistle. And then when they do that, he's going to perennially put up 40, 45 points.
Well, Angry Midget, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time, sir.
Take care.
Yeah, man. Good to hear from you. Quick break. We come back. Oh, boy. Jordan. LSU's out of the SEC baseball tournament.
Just like that.
Just like that. Wilson Alexander is literally driving back from Hoover, Alabama. Oh. So I figure, you know what? I mean, not that I want to interrupt his easy and smooth driving. Why not have a chat about what happened yesterday? He got a good pitching performance. Remember, I said, Landon Marcel, you wanted him to go deep. He did. Jordan didn't get any runs.
We're interrupting Wilson Alexander's sad music time.
No, this is, I'd rather do this, believe me. Due to make a regional. We'll talk to him next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's hot in the night, lonely black and white on a hot summer.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cut Off, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
O'Reilly. Ready for an oil change? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are here to help. We'll make sure you have all the supplies you need to make the job quick and easy. Right now, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $28.95. Plus, get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Who should start, Mac Jones or Cam Newton? Why are you laughing?
Because it's not a question, in my opinion. I know what Keith's going to say.
You really put that out there? I mean, it's just again.
Cam Newton, man. Stop, man. I understand we got Mac Jones effect. Stop. Stop it. They didn't go out and build this team right now for Mac Jones to be the starter.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well, not used to this. Mr. Wilson Alexander covers the LSU Tigers. The Advocate, Picayune's been joining us throughout the season to talk LSU baseball. Wilson, first off, man, safe travels, man. Where you at? You on the road?
Yes, we're stopped in Tuscaloosa to do this, you know, safely on the road.
Wait! One loss, are you becoming?
Told you,
he's going to go cover the tie.
Told you,
is that what you're doing? You're covering the tie now?
No, not at all.
They did win, though. They did win, didn't they?
They did, which is not great for LSU.
Yes. Well, you see, now you know where I was going with that, because I think you put it best. This one hurts, and the Tigers, as you mentioned, they're wondering if they've done enough. Let's just start with last night. I talked to Chris Blair on the show yesterday. We talked about Landon Marceau. He was worried about fatigue, and I'm like, look, you would kind of want, with Arkansas waiting, to get that starting pitcher, man, to get you some innings, get you deep into the game, and not have to tax your bullpen. Let's start there. He did his job, didn't he?
He absolutely did. He did not deserve to get the loss, you know, in his win-loss record. But yet he did, because first inning, Georgia scores four runs. Landon, you know, the bases were loaded. Landon wasn't pitching great. And it seemed like, maybe, you know, you worried if that fatigue was a factor again. And then, you know, he induced a double play, ground ball, and Kate Doty flipped over to second, and then Collier Cranford just short-armed the throw, and, you know, Trey Morgan tried to block it and you know, do something. He's sometimes able to, you know, make those plays, but he just couldn't there. And the Georgia scores a run, bases get loaded again, Georgia clears the bases with a double, and that was all it needed. But, yeah, Landon then goes seven scoreless innings, and he pitches great. I mean, he's maybe one of his better starts of the year, those last seven innings. Mm-hmm. Struck out nine, but, you know, LSU just could not generate anything offensively. And now, yeah, like you said, left to wonder if it's done enough or if its season just ended.
It's nuts when you think about it, but at the same time, I sort of feel the appearances you come on with us in talk that I maybe shouldn't be surprised, right? Inconsistencies at times on the defense, not getting runners in, errors, things. It just kind of felt like you were trying to figure out from the get-go some sort of, I guess, rhythm on this baseball team. Is that an accurate way to sort of put it? Everyone has injuries, and I get that. Just, it sort of feels like you're trying to find your rhythm, if that makes sense.
In this game in particular?
Yeah, that kind of, is that kind of a microcosm of the season, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at, too.
Yeah, it is. Little things have just sort of plagued them the whole year, you know. Just defensive lapses and you know, not being able to sometimes hit with runners in scoring position. That was a problem for a while, and not getting the clutch hit, and then they were getting the clutch hit, but then, you know, it's just inconsistency and little things here and there have just held them back from being, you know, they probably not even still a great team, but, you know, a team that isn't sitting here hoping that it's going to make the tournament. You know, they, you know, if a few of those games go a different way and they played a lot of close games, then they'd be in a decent spot. But they just, you know, they haven't had that sort of, that, I don't know what it is, but, you know, that sort of it instinct, you know, that you find in a team. And a lot of it was probably because they're pretty young, but, and they're still kind of figuring things out. But, you know, it's also just, you know, the team just they're not a national championship kind of contender this year. You know, Arkansas and Vanderbilt, they do all those things all the time. And LSU just hasn't been able to. And they didn't in this last game. Like you said, that is a bit of a microcosm of the whole season.
Speak with Wilson Alexander. At WH Alexander _ is the way to follow him over on Twitter, covers the Tigers. So, you know, you look at a game like that, and is it one of those situations where you say, hey, look, credit Georgia, it's the SEC is sort of tough, or do you think more spotlight goes to when you're debating and selecting and thinking of teams to go into postseason play, you go, no, that's LSU, maybe they really aren't one of the top 64 teams. Is that what it boils down to?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, Georgia, you know, you do got to give credit to Georgia in that game. It's through a trio of left-handed pitchers. Jaden Woods in particular just dominated LSU, kind of overpowered them throughout the game. You know, LSU had a couple of scoring chances, and Georgia just wiped them away, you know, was able to get out of it every time. Because LSU's lineup just didn't seem, you know, just wasn't clicking at all yesterday. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, now LSU, you do wonder, they're one of the 64 best teams. Their resume, it puts them right on that fringe area, you know, them and Georgia. This is sort of a play-in game, sort of, because they both had identical SEC records. It seemed like, okay, whoever wins this game is definitely in, and the other one is going to be like, well, are we going to make it? And so now LSU's the one that has to sit there and wonder, are we going to make it? Because their RPI is solid, their strength of schedule is good, but they just don't have the conference wins that you would want to see from a tournament team.
Wilson, when you look at, I guess, the fact that you have some sort of history, right? And obviously, does that help at all going? I'm just trying to find out, like, how concerned should I be? I mean, you were going into a 3 seed yesterday, right? The last D1 baseball projection I sort of saw. I'm sure you would have liked to have gotten at least to Arkansas today. And I just wonder, is that bumpy? Like, can it go? I guess this is my long-winded answer, a question. Can I go from 3 and out, or can I go from 3 to 4 as a seed? Like, can LSU be a 4 seed, or does it look like they're 3 seed or they're out?
I'm not exactly quite sure how that stuff works. Like, if
me
it
neither.
Has to be it seems like teams that get in that large bid that are in LSU, like it would be probably like a 3 seed. I don't know if like the 4 seeds are reserved for like different kinds of teams or something that are
right.
like maybe win their conference or something like that,
right.
Or those go to 2 seeds. So I'm not totally sure on that route. But yeah, I mean LSU is going to be, you know, it's going to be at this point now one of those like last 4 teams in. Or, you know, last 8 teams in or something like that, or one of the first 4 teams out. I mean, they're going to be kind of in that range. Whether or not that makes them a 3 seed or a 4 seed, I don't know for sure. But they just need to get in. It doesn't quite matter what seed they are or where they end up going. They just need to get in the thing. And we'll know come Monday, really. A lot of it's going to depend on what happens to other teams, other conference tournaments across the country. You know, maybe it'll help them if Georgia loses its next 2 games. It'll help them quite a bit. It'll help them if Alabama loses its next 2 games. And then, you know, LSU is truly going to be that ninth team in the league, and it's going to hope that the NCAA decides to take 9 SEC teams. But, you know, Eastern Carolina was going to probably be its representative from its conference, but then it lost its conference tournament. So now another team in that conference, which is the exact one that's escaping me, right, this American, is going to be, you know, going to have 2 teams. And so that's another spot that gets taken. And so LSU is going to be kind of scoreboard watching all over the country for the next 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Because it always happens. You're always going to have one team that, you know, wins a conference tournament that probably shouldn't. And that things like that hurt, right? That's why I was kind of glad you went through that so LSU fans can – you have to scoreboard watch. I mean, you have to scoreboard watch now.
You absolutely do. That's all that they can do for the next few days here. It's a position LSU isn't really used to being in. You know, like they hadn't won lost in the single elimination round of the SEC tournament ever. I know that was instituted in the early 2010s after expansion, but like that had never happened. In 2005, had it gone to the tournament, not even won a game. You know, they're not used to having to just go on back home and wait for everything, but that's what they have to do. They have to scoreboard watch, and, you know, Landon Marsa said the anxiety is going to be high, but that they just have to hope, because that's the only thing that they have right now is just hope that what they accomplished in the regular season is enough come selection time to get a bid. But it's going to, like you said, depend on what happens throughout the country. And so, yeah, they'll be watching a lot of scoreboards, not just in the SEC, but in a lot of different conferences.
I think one of the – I don't know how to ask this. I kind of joke about it sometimes in some seasons. You know, in February, the weekend series doesn't go the right way. Firemanary.com is posted. I mean, is there like that kind of level of concern if LSU doesn't make the postseason? I mean, that isn't on the table, is it?
It's hard to say with at this time. That's certainly a lot of smoke and, you know, speculation and rumors flying around about, you know, his future. But he has not, you know, really been asked to address it at this point.
Right.
He hasn't addressed it at this point. It's something that we'll really know more about that comes, you know, once we actually know whether or not they're going to keep playing or if this was their last game of the year. You know, certainly he's getting closer to the end of his career than the beginning because, you know, he's been doing this for 39 years. But, you know, we don't know with absolute certainty at this point. But there's certainly a lot of speculation and rumors flying around. And there have been for some time.
Yeah, I kind of heard them too. That's why I was kind of wondering if it's more one of those, hey, you know, I just kind of time to walk into the sunset maybe, as opposed to I have a hard time saying you're fired, sort of, you know, like Vince McMahon of WWE or something of that nature. Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you.
They still got to find out. You know, the season's not necessarily over at this point, and so you know, we don't totally know yet.
Final thing for you, man. Since you saw at least most of the teams, I know LSU didn't see Georgia this year and hadn't played him in a while, but who do you think wins the SEC tournament?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it's because, you know, some of these teams don't, you know, put all their eggs in the SEC tournament basket. You know, they don't go in there, you know, trying to win this thing. And, you know, I mean, some teams, quite frankly, take it more seriously than others. LSU has always taken it seriously, and that's why it has had a lot of success traditionally in the SEC tournament. But when you look at the best teams in the league, I mean, Arkansas, Tennessee, they seem like they're, you know, primed to do it. Vanderbilt certainly has the talent, but hasn't quite been clicking lately. You know, it certainly helps, you know, even Mississippi State could do it. I mean, I would imagine it'd be one of the top four seeds that, you know, got the first round bye. That helps a lot to get that first round bye. You don't have to rely, you know, you have one less day of pitching that you have to account for. You know, they're all talented. It's just going to depend on which one really wants it at the end of the day. I mean, Arkansas is a team that, you know, doesn't even have to come out here. It's still going to be the number one overall seed in the, you know, tournament. It doesn't even really have to play in this series or this tournament at all. But, you know, they've got the talent to do it, and we'll see how things shake out.
Wilson, man, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Safe travels back over to the boot state, sir, and we'll be following what happens.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, for sure. Wilson Alexander, go give him a follow. @WHAlexander_JordanKleber. What do you think? Are they in or not? Gut feeling right now. Gut feeling.
Not in.
Oh! So you hate LSU. That's how this works, by the way.
Yep, that's exactly what I said. That's how this works. I hate them.
Okay.
That's a strong
word. This has nothing with you wanting to maybe become the next head baseball coach at LSU.
I don't think I have that criteria.
No! Wow! But you have the criteria to take on Steph Curry.
Potential. I mean, I could shoot a basketball.
And play tight end.
Okay, catch a ball. I don't know if I can coach a team.
You don't think you can coach a team? Let me show you. Ready? Come on now. Come on now. Give it a good swing. Give it a good swing.
Swing the bat.
Now put the ball in play. Put the ball in play. Let's go. Oh, you're on the mound. Need a strike here. Need a strike. Need a strike. Need a strike. Good job now. Catch that ball. See? There you go.
Come here, son. Come. You're just not doing it for us. We're going to have to change pitchers.
Oh, you're benching somebody already. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Where else can you go and you just feel like this is the place I need to buy my new vehicle? Golden Motors, your Chevy, Buick, and nearly new pre-owned in any make or model dealership. For 65-plus years, we've been serving Lafourche, Terrebonne, and surrounding parishes. We want you to be satisfied, and that's why Process Priority is our slogan. Golden Motors is like no other dealership. We take pride in doing everything we can to help our customers. Definitely worth the drive down to Golden Motors. Visit us 24 hours a day at goldenmotors.com or call us at 985-325-1000. Chevy, find new roads.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, let's try it this way. 800-998-1003. Give me your favorite LeBron moment from last night.
No.
No? Why?
Everything was...
Why are you so bitter?
Everything was the national media.
Do I have a LeBron highlight? Did you give me a LeBron highlight?
I have LeBron talking after the game.
No, I want a LeBron highlight.
You want an actual highlight?
Yes.
Let's see what we
got. Yes. I want LeBron the three, LeBron, the other three.
LeBron.
I need LeBron. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
By the way, while you're looking for that, this is going to hurt some people. You need to be a Tom Brady fan. Like, is it hard right now to not be a Tom Brady? Did you see what his series? What were you, is that like a series of tweets, his latest thread?
Yeah, because this is.
First off, let me give some context.
Context.
If you haven't seen this.
The match.
So Sunday, following the PGA champion, Brooks Koepka came in second. So, you know, PGA championship within your grasps right there, Jordan. I mean, it's right there. Here's a guy from the Golf Channel doing an interview. You're outside. You know, you can probably hear everybody cheering for Phil. I mean, apparently he and Bryson DeChambeau don't see eye to eye, I think is the best way a lot of people were putting it on Twitter and stuff. They're not very friendly with one another, Jordan. So he's doing the interview. He's starting. He's frustrated. He's talking about it. And then you hear this really loud spike sound. He's walking with metal spike. Now, I don't know if that's what set him off, but in mid-sentence, he just stopped. Couple of expletives. I'm sorry. I just lost my train of thought. I can't deal with that kind of BS and bleeping this and that. And I mean, he rolls his eye. Jordan, that meme, that photo, that still, that video of the following has blown up. Would you say that has blown up? I mean, if you're listening right now, you got to know what I'm talking about. Brooks Koepka rolling his eye. There's Bryson with his little hat right behind him. And then that night.
I can't deal with this.
I think it was that night. Oh, it was Monday night. Bryson's now put on his Instagram video, puts videos of him arm curling 100 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Protein Shakes. Yes. You're right. So, I mean.
Oh, come on. What do you mean, Mr. Protein Shake?
Buddy, don't you. How about we make you a case study? Go do some protein shakes for me.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think I'm starting to look like him a little.
You look nothing like Bryson. Okay, so anyway.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying nothing. So my point is, Tom Brady.
Coming at him.
Tom Brady's having all kind of fun today. By the way, they were talking, not that maybe they listened to the show. I don't remember. Yesterday I was saying about Tom Brady working down the street, Bruce Arians yesterday saying they could come here, they could come eat, just, you know, whatever. Tom Brady puts together a list of tweets using that meme based on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, no, it all has to start. It starts off with Bleacher Report that works with TNT and WarnerMedia. The PGA champ and Super Bowl MVP versus the U.S. Open champ and NFL MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And they're referring to Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be wild. Every year they put on a match, and it's called Capital One The Match, presented by TNT.
Adam Schefter loved his comment, by the way, on this. Did you see this? On the very bottom, Tom Brady liked it, and he puts two championships versus a scientist and a Jeopardy host.
Well, Tom Brady replied to the Bleacher Report tweet saying, two old guys against two young bucks, Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau, better get used to laying up because we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going for it.
With a laughing emoji.
Yes, because the Green Bay Packers did not go for it.
Well, there's more threads to that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so later on, Tom Brady, an hour ago, it's a still photo. This is incredible. I mean, Tom Brady's just, well, I guess when you literally leave that franchise, go in the Super Bowl, zero F's given. And quite honestly, he shouldn't. I love this Tom Brady. This was not the Tom Brady we saw in New England, right? This guy has personality. He's got onions. I mean, he's got humor. He posts several pictures of the, you know, Brooks Koepka eye rolling. Graf, you got to go see this. And, I mean, he has a photo, and above Bryson's head is the Packers kicking a field goal down 7. And then Koepka with his eyes closed, Aaron Rodgers, in complete disgust. This dude's now talking about the relationship with Rodgers and the Packers. Oh, my God. And then he does it again. Me, Tom Brady, making memes. And he's now Bryson DeChambeau. Aaron and Bryson rolling their eyes.
I could so see Tom on his, you know, $26 million yacht.
Yes. He's just making memes.
Just laughing away.
I honestly love this. I'm for it all. I'm here for it all. I love this. Because the Aaron Rodgers thing, it hits everywhere, right? Jordan, I mean, it's one of the things you wanted to throw out there today. Like, which side are you on? And can we see more of this?
Yeah.
We talked about, this is before the stories and stuff came up with Deshaun Watson. But we were about to compare NFL free agency in the offseason. Oh, no. Here comes NBA free agency. I mean, everybody was, I'm not happy here. You're not happy there. Trading this to trade that. I mean, I've never seen quarterbacks talked about like that in movement, right?
Like wanting to force their way,
right? One way, shape, or form. I mean, Russ isn't happy, you know. And I still think do you think the mayor's video helped or hurt?
I don't even think Russell saw it.
No, oh, he saw it. Come on, he added. Sierra. She added Adam.
I add out a lot
at
of people.
Sierra.
I add out a lot of people on Twitter. They probably don't.
Oh, really? Do you? Tell me one isn't Lacey.
Lacey?
Lainey. What's her name?
No, that's on Instagram, man. Gracie Hunt?
That's her. Gracie. Just don't do it.
No, I'm not going
to
do it.
Don't do it. Or if you do, make sure that anything resembling or having to do with ESPN New Orleans or me is not attached to that. Like, go start a Kevin Durant burner account if you want to tweet at Gracie.
Soon. It's, when do we don't play, we don't play Kansas
City. No, don't play, you had your shot.
I didn't have my shot.
You had your shot. Accidentally. Oh, I didn't know this was your suite. I'm sorry, I'm looking for another, hi Gracie.
I'm looking for the press box.
Yeah, that's right.
Press box way up there. Yeah, it's nowhere, it's on the other side of the dome.
I think all the way several people before you got to that door would have, sir, no,
yeah.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry,
you know who's
sir.
Down this hall.
Hand right in, all five fingers, palm up. Sorry, sir. Chest high. I don't think you would have gotten anywhere near the Kansas
nowhere
City
near
ownership suite.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, I don't. It's not how the credential or badge works. Or if somehow you snuck through, poor Justin Massey would be getting in trouble.
I wouldn't do that to Justin.
Yeah, exactly.
He's too nice of a guy.
Yeah. He doesn't need to get a phone call from
absolutely
upper management.
I don't need to make his life
how
any harder.
How did a Jordan Clybert get into the Hunt's box? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I like the Tom Brady thing. But it is interesting. Which side are you on? Because I brought this up yesterday with Maddie. We can touch on this here in hour number two. Ali Cosell going to join us at 1:15. Gary Smith, 1:30. Tulane won their opener. They're off today. That's their reward. Then they play tomorrow. That's good. Wave may need to win the tournament. They at least need to get, I think, maybe to Sunday to get to some regional action. We'll see. But I want to open up next hour with that. Because we kind of saw a situation reverse, but that I think applies. Did the Saints and the loyalty with Drew Brees go too long? And I'm not blaming.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
No. Hear me out. I'm not blaming the Saints not going. But look, in their eyes, in Sean Payton's eyes, in Mickey Loomis's eyes, Drew Brees was the best quarterback, the best hope for them to get to a Super Bowl. They built a team. They did everything right. Right? Father time, though, is father time. And I'm not saying a more athletic or better quarterback would have made him out. I don't know. The whole team doesn't play well in the playoffs for some reason. So it's not just him. But here's an instance where an organization looks at a guy like Aaron Rodgers and goes, you didn't have a good year last year. And they drafted a quarterback thinking of their future. And here's a player saying, I'll come back, but you got to fire the general manager. Let's touch on that next on ESPN New Orleans. Help me sell my load.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit card purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Sorry to interrupt your jams, murder mystery podcasts, or motivational beach noises, but we got something else you might like to hear. It's called cash. That's the sound of an extra $250 after your first 10 deliveries with Uber Eats. That's right, an extra $250 on top of all the other cash you'll make during those first 10 deliveries. If that sounds good, visit t.uber.com/extra250. Uber Eats, deliver with us. Limited time offer, terms apply. See t.uber.com/extra250 for more details.
Dreaming of buying your first home? What's the first step in getting a home loan? What type of assistance is available? At the Louisiana Housing Corporation, we have answers. Our mission is to help you make the most of your investment with down payment assistance, low interest rates, and tax credits. Attend one of our homebuyer education classes to learn about affordable solutions for Louisiana homebuyers. Let us help you make your dream of homeownership a reality. Contact Louisiana Housing Corporation today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Any new Tom Brady memes?
Let me look it up. Let me see if there's anything updated on his timeline.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day? Is that what it is?
There it is. Love your shoulder, Jalen Jacoby. LeBron and AD put in work. LeBron's first, by the way, even though AD had more points, 34. James 23. Is that how it goes? Because of prestige and honor, Jordan? Is that appropriately?
Oh, you better be.
Should it say AD and LeBron AD put in work as
AD
the Lakers
should be happy that his name's even up there?
I think you're right. And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever. How about we mention it like this? LeBron with 23 points, 9 assists, and also contributed to Anthony Davis's 34 points.
There you go.
There we
That's
go.
That's more like it.
Okay. 800-998-1003. What'd you think of the games last night? And we were talking about this with the Pelicans in the first 30 minutes of the show. It's just bound to happen, whether you like it or not, huh? That you're going to view the games in a certain context and or lens of the Pelicans. You know, I'm wondering. I'm watching that Clippers Mavericks game. Who's guarding Luka? And is it okay? Look, no one is an answer. right? I mean, that is an answer.
I mean, if the Clippers can't do it, then, I mean, it's kind of hard to give an answer.
MJ won 6, but in some of those, he went till game 5 and 6 or 7. I mean, and the other team had a chance to win it. You're going to have those players, aren't you? Where...
So the playoffs, that's why those teams are in the playoffs.
It just is what it is. They're good. But we'll touch on that with Ali Cosell coming up at 1:15 because words, phrases, players, things you think the Pels are. I played the bites from Zion. He says, no, we're not close. Remember at the end of the season last Monday? And that quote, man, keeps popping in my head because I'm watching some of these players. I'm like, man, the Pels. Again, I'm not saying you can't beat them once. You have to win three four-game series to get to the finals. Opening round, best of four. Second round, best of four. Conference finals, best of four. And I'm not saying that to be like, well, the guys, you got it. No, I'm just, do you have the backcourt to compete with some of these teams for games? Do you
absolutely
have the scoring?
No.
Do you have the star player? Do you have, and it's not just that, cause that's easy, right? That's easy, Jordan. I can name a team right now. You write down on a sheet of paper a name that has a star, right? Right now. I mentioned a name you can do. Portland.
Damian Lillard.
There we go. Denver.
Jamal Murray.
Or Joker, right? Or Joker. Who might be the MVP. Yeah, exactly. Either one. Okay, so everybody's got that one or two. Man, you watch the teams that win these games, it's the other guys. It's that dude off the bench. Who's that guy? Again, Caruso. Man, I can't stand that guy. He's so good. He's a basketball player. Fighter. Warriors. You know, John called earlier saying about, you know, like James Johnson, he brought that element to it. Najee Marshall brought that element to the Pels, right? Diving for loose balls, doing the little things. You know, when we had Corey Brewer on, he's like, dude, it's about defense. You got to want to play defense. You got to do all those different things. I think that's just as important because it's easy, Jordan. It's easy to make your team better with one signing. You know, the old, that's going to be a lot of zero signing. The old, you know, we having a big presser with holding the jersey signing. Sure, the big free agent acquisition is easy. But that player, look at the Clippers. You got two of the best players, right? I mean, Paul George isn't bad. Kawhi Leonard had, what, 41 last night? They're down 2-0. Because everybody I keep seeing on Twitter keeps saying the roster just doesn't work together. A lot of good pieces doesn't work together. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make here is you have to have guys that can play together, complement each other, but add something individually. Does that make sense? Jordan, you're the D guy. You know what I mean? You defend that player. You're in that guy's face. John's the rebounder. Jack, as we bring you into the conversation, you're the guy that comes off the bench, hadn't played a lick, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. No, I need Jack to hit a three. And there's Jack hitting a three. I mean, you have to have all those different type of elements because within the playoff series, then you're going to have, depending on each game, that one guy had a career night. That, like, is Dennis Schroeder going to be like that all the time? He had a great game last night. But again, who's guarding him? Like, who's matching that on the Pels team?
It's also playoff experience. These guys know when to turn up.
Yeah.
And they could be, you know, slow in the first half, but you watch the Lakers all the time. I watched them throughout the whole entire, you know, season just about, and it looked like, you know, they were slow to get off from the start, and then towards the half, right, second half of the second, you know, second half, I mean, they just took over games.
Jack, how are you today, sir?
All right, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
No, I think David Griffin has to decide, you know, he's got to figure out who and decide what kind of players he wants to put his team together. That's his job. He's got to figure it out. But, guys, I have a question about the, and obviously I understand what it is, but I'm looking at the box score from last night, and Devin Booker had the biggest minus on Phoenix's roster.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is when he's on the floor, they lose more points? I mean, that can't be right. He's the, you know, especially with CP3 hurt, he's their best player. So how can the minus be more for him than anybody else?
That plus-minus thing at times, dude, can be telling. At the same time, it could be deceiving. But I will say this. Reggie Miller kept saying, I was texting it to Will Guillory. I think I might have texted you, Jordan. My Devin Booker's, I mean, if we've had this discussion throughout the season. Who's the MVP? And people are like, dude, on that team, it's Devin Booker. And I'm like, I think it's Chris Paul. And I've been saying it's been Chris Paul. And if you're going to be, and I'm not saying that this is to be fair or not, but if you're going to say, I'm an MVP candidate, I'm the final three, or I'm the MVP, that guy's got to produce more than he did last night. one way, shape, or form. Hey, Gus, I'm not saying he wasn't trying or anything, but maybe that's why that plus-minus ratio sort of is the way it was. Trying to jack up shots late at the end, Jack. He was throwing up threes that were contested, trying to get fouls, trying to get free throws. So that plus-minus takes into account just numbers, not when maybe some of those numbers happen. Five or six of those shots, man, inside of 2 minutes, he's just throwing up prayers. So maybe that alters it a bit. But I'll ask Ollie, you know, if that plus-minus is accurate of what we saw last night.
Do you think it's a similar situation with the Lakers? Like, at this point in their careers, you know, Anthony Davis is a much more talented, but he's a more talented player than LeBron is right now, just because of age. And I think it's similar, you know, with the Suns. You know, CP3 is not the player he was, but I think LeBron and him kind of keep the young guys focused. Is that the right word? You know, I think, like, for instance, I think somebody said this way before me. I think Anthony Davis will always be Robin. He'll never be Batman. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it was part of the problem here is that, and again, you can sort of apply this to the Pelicans. We may want certain players to be certain way, act certain way. That's not inherently who they are. I need to understand that, realize that, but you need to have certain type of individuals and players within the locker room. You have to have that right mix and recipe. Like we were talking with the Cajun Ninja. Today's Wednesday. We're going to have Cajun Ninja.
Different ingredients.
Last Wednesday, I'm like, dude, soup and gumbo. Main difference. Coloring, roux. You got to have a thickness to it. Like if it's not brown and like that's not as, you know, you can have like beef soup or something, but there's certain ingredients you have to have for it to be that kind of product. I think AD works great with that aspect, and he said it yesterday if you saw the post-game interview, Jack. He said that I'm at the point now where I finally don't need LeBron to tell me what to do. I know what I need to do, okay, and I take it on myself. So, but what year is he in? And this is a year after he won a championship. So it does take time. It does take, I guess, trial and tribulations and having the entire country blame you for game one's loss. That probably helps, too.
Well, the reporter should have asked him why he has to be shamed into driving to the basket when he's 7 feet tall. I don't understand that.
You saw him while he was here. That drove people nuts. You know that. People went bananas. Pels the Hornets down two, up one, and he shoots a three.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Gus, I just had one comment about did Bree stay here too long? I think you know where I am. But look, I agree with you. I think the Saints did everything they could to try to get another championship when he was here.
Yeah.
And what I'm about to say doesn't matter at all if they could have got – I especially thought the year the Nola no call and last year, if they could just get past those games, they probably win the Super Bowl. The other years, I'm not so sure, but those 2 years, I think they really that was their best chances. But this is the way I look at it. I guess you had to take a chance at winning the Super Bowl. But if Breeze isn't here, I just think the roster looks different, and they wouldn't have had to purge it the way they did. I don't think they would have been $100 million over the salary cap. But like, I think when you look at most teams, you're not paying top money for a running back and a wide receiver at the same time. They overpaid Andrus Peat when most people didn't think he was worth the money, although they felt like he was a fit at the time and they were trying to get to a Super Bowl. That's really my only point. I just think they would be – it would be less – I don't know if it's a rebuilding project, but it would be – they'd have less pieces to get if they weren't – if they hadn't – you know, if they hadn't had to lose so many pieces to try to get Breeze a championship.
Look, and that's why I brought it up in context with Aaron Rodgers, because that's essentially where the Packers are right now. He wants a new contract. And it's not really more about the money. It's more about the security in terms of, like, you're staying with me and this is what we're trying to do. So that's the decision for them to make. A guy that's almost 40 that is not going to play for $10 million, you know, so you're looking at another big time contract. And what are you doing to the guy that you moved up to go get? This can't be hurting, helping. Because I'm seeing them tote this fine line of acting like, oh, we knew Jordan was going to take some time. Like LaFleur yesterday. Look, see if you can find Matt LaFleur, Jordan, on the sound bank talking about Jordan Love. He's like, oh, he did well. He can definitely tell he put in work in the offseason. But he's got a long, long, long way to go.
Well, their owner said that.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. He's like, it can't help this kid. Like, either he's that bad that it's taken him, you know, this long for, and you're still going long, long, long way to go. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know if that helps him mentally or growth-wise, where you're consistently saying, well, you know, he's no Aaron Rodgers. We know he's not, but you put that individual in that situation. It's just, it's very odd, man, but that's what they're deciding. I mean, literally Aaron Rodgers says, I'll come back if the GM's gone. That's been the reports, right? So, you have to decide as an organization. Am I getting rid of Mickey Luke? Can you imagine Drew Brees says, I don't get along with Mickey. Would you get rid of your general manager to keep that guy? Now, if he's Pat Mahomes, I don't know if this is
young
much of a
player.
Debate. Correct.
You just paid him a lot of
correct.
Money.
Young, and you just gave him basically the Brinks bank. Then, you know what? Sorry, dude. But are you doing that for Aaron Rodgers? I don't know.
It's tough, man. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. I,